So I'd like to very much welcome each and every one of you to Eindhoven and to this Tovana retreat that we start tonight with Kitty Sorrow. This is Kitty Sorrow and myself, Tanisara. It's really very, very good to be here and to be here with you and to be with this smaller group. We're thrilled that we actually have not 100 or more people, although that's also great, but it's nice to work in this smaller group together, and that we can dedicate this next week to the practice of meditation and the practice of awakening, guided by the teachings of the Dharma and the teachings of the Buddha. So by way of starting, so let's just sit for a short while and then arrive into your seat, into your posture. I'm not sure yet, as we haven't had a chance to catch up with each of you in terms of your experience and what you've done before, if you're new. But as the retreat goes on, we'll be guiding the practice for you if you're quite new to the practice. So for tonight, just arrive and don't worry too much about figuring everything out, just to try and be as comfortable as you can in this space. We will be explaining more as we go along. And so we'll sit for a short while, and then I'll give a bit more of an opening talk to introduce the retreat. So let's just sit quietly, finding a posture you feel comfortable with. In the chair, on the seat, the cushion. I'm taking a few moments to receive how you are tonight after your week, work, engagement with everyday concerns. And as you connect to the body and to being here in this space, maybe to just take a deeper breath, so you really feel the breath energy coming into the body. And then as you breathe out, try and relax your shoulders and your, soften your belly, soften into your body and into your seat. And gently, kindly welcoming yourself to yourself into this space. So we'll sit quietly for a short while, and as we do so, we're just opening together into sharing the space together in this land, and connecting with our intention to move into retreat. Maybe with each deepening breath, as you breathe in, feeling more fully here, little by little, and as you breathe out, just softly, gently letting go of the day, of the week, letting things be. So you become more fully here with the experience of the evening as it unfolds. Please just take a moment to stretch if you need to. So once again, I'd like to welcome you to this retreat. Beginning with the silence is a really good place to begin, because this practice of meditation in essence is about many things, but it's about allowing ourselves to deepen into this opening to silence, a silence that's not a dead silence, or a silence that isn't disconnecting us from life, but a silence that's very alive. It's very profound, and that in a way allows us to open more into the deeper nature of our truer experience. It allows us to come into touch with our vulnerability as human beings, as we listen more deeply into our hearts, a heart that often can be quite covered over and defended as we go about our daily lives, a heart that may have been troubled or anxious or wounded in some way or another, and often layered by the strategies and complexities of our thinking mind and our stories. But when we come into this experience and open into silence, there's a sort of a stripping away, a simplification, becoming more simple and more open and more present. These are some of the qualities and the practices within meditation, learning in the moments of our life, and to be here in a more open way, in a more internally quiet way, so we can hear dimensions of our being and connect with life in ways that we don't usually allow ourselves. So in essence, the practice of meditation is quite simple, although the mind is very complex. Life is very complex. But the practice of being aware, which is the heart of meditation, is utter simplicity, because that is in the deeper natural state of our being, is actually simple. It's a state of awareness, a state of presence. And as we tune into this awareness, which has a quality of the citta, or the heart, or the mind, has this quality of what's called buddhi, which means knowingness. Wakefulness. This knowingness connects with a deeper intuitive intelligence. We begin to hear more deeply into a deeper intelligence, a deeper wisdom, which in the Dharma is called prajna or panya, wisdom, which is our nature. It can can hear, perhaps, and connect with a more wiser response within life, rather than just coming from our reactions or our strategies, or where we think we need to get to, or struggling with what we feel we haven't arrived at yet. And one of the things that the Buddha said about this practice from a teaching called the Heartwood Sutta is that the purpose of the spiritual life does not have gain, honor, renown for its main benefit. It's not about doing these practices so that we become someone special, or for the attainment of moral or ethical discipline. It's not even about becoming a really good person, although these are very good things. This is very good to be ethical. It's very important, foundation of the path, but this isn't the true goal. It's a step along the way. Nor is it about concentration. It's not about becoming really able to be adept even in the fields and the realms of meditation and being able to have profound states of absorption or jhana, or even about knowledge and vision. This path isn't really even about that, this focus ultimately, although this is one of the fruits. As we become more aware and the mind opens more, then there's more faculties operating: wisdom, clarity, discernment, insight, perhaps even more intuitive perceptivity, more kind of revelation, sensitivity. These things open because it's the nature of the mind, but these aren't the ultimate focus of the practice. But it is the unshakable liberation of the heart that is the goal of this spiritual life. It is its heartwood and its end. So this spiritual life does not have gain, honor, renown for its main benefit, or the attainment of moral or ethical discipline, or concentration, or knowledge and vision for its benefit, but it is the unshakable liberation of heart that is the goal of this spiritual life, its heartwood and its end. So it's good to have this perspective before we begin our practice, to have a sense that yes, there is, although the Dharma nature, this nature of awareness, is always present here and now. We can access it, particularly when there's a silence and the mind calms. But also there is a gradual unfolding or a path to this way of awakening. And as we enter this path, to really realize that it has within it a sense of journeying, a journey. The Buddha put it as like this, very simply. He said this path is about this practice and this teaching that I communicate and that I share and that I offer is about the experience of dukkha or suffering and the ending of suffering or dukkha. This is what this practice is about. This is the unshakable liberation of heart. What is the heart being liberated from? Ultimately, it's being liberated from the false notions that we have and assumptions that we have about ourselves and about each other and about life, erroneous views and misconceptions that we have that lead us into a state of stress and struggle and suffering. It's not to say that there isn't suffering and pain and stress, but it is possible, even within a world that is quite complex, extremely complex, that is intense, that is more and more intense, more and more challenging, more and more difficult to be in some ways, to actually experience pain and difficulty as we all do, but to also, in the midst of whatever life brings to us, to be able to know that there's a practice and a way to be able to release this heart, one's own heart, from unnecessary suffering. This is the point when the Buddha called about the unshakable heart, to realize in its deepest nature this citta, or this heart, has this unshakability, the unshakable liberation of heart, because its nature is already aware, already awakened. It's just that we don't realize that. We don't recognize that, and we get confused by what moves through the heart. Our views and our ideas and the feeling that we've got to get somewhere else, or that we're not good enough, or there's something yet to attain. So in this retreat, we'll be exploring the path. The Buddha said that this path in and of itself, the path activity, begins to break up that which obstructs this profound awake nature of awareness. That if we, it's not a path in a way, it can sound like it's a path going somewhere in time and space, and although that is true, it's a path that's really more leading more deeply here, being here. So this practice is a very patient practice, because while we're learning to be here more fully, we come into contact with parts of ourselves that really don't want to be here. That are always moving somewhere else, or that always sort of going unconscious and into daydreams or into old places of worry and agitation, or into creating great empires of what the future might look for us. So to actually deepen here, a path that deepens here is a path that deepens into this presence, into this silence, through the gateway of contemplation and meditation and silence. So the factors of this path we'll explore during this retreat. We'll go unpackage a little bit more, bit by bit, some of the factors of the path. But remembering as we're doing so, it's not so much about using these structures of the path and these guidelines to try and gain some kind of thing that we feel that we have to grasp at, but to actually use them to help us deepen into trusting this inner awareness and natural intelligence and wisdom that's available to us when we listen more deeply into this heart, our own heart. So one of the main factors of the path that we'll be cultivating through this retreat is this activity of what's called sati, or mindfulness, and samadhi, gatheredness of mind, body, and heart. Gathering mind, body, and heart, these are the energies, the streams of our energy, the mind, the mental faculty that's thinking, that's creative, that's involved in forms of mental activity of one sort or another, the thought processes. This is the mental, it's called the stream of the mental activities. In a way, it's one aspect of our being. And then the citta, or the heart, what's felt, what we feel, what affects the heart, how we feel, and what feeling tones have arisen from the impact of our life. Sometimes working at this level is very, very powerful, because we start to touch into feeling tones that we may not have really given the space or the time to be with. And in meditation, we allow ourselves a lot of space, a lot of patience, a lot of time to be with what is the residue, the momentum of our life. So this kind of, in a way, it's subtle because we can't see it in the same way we could see our physical body, but what we feel, what is felt. In the Buddhist approach, this is a very powerful shaping for us, or patterning for us, or a place of our experience is the feeling nature, place of great reactivity, place of pleasure, place of pain. So we'll be working with that, and then this third stream of our energy is the physical, our embodiment, whatever we feel about the body, whether we like our body or not, whether it's comfortable or sometimes uncomfortable, has a very powerful impact on the mind. The mind has an impact, of course, on the body. So these streams of energy, mind, body, heart, citta, heart as in feel, what we feel, will be working in the samadhi practice or the gathering practice to gather these three streams of energy into awareness, or to suffuse awareness and presence through these dimensions of our being. And this is why we call this retreat an integrated awakening. It's not an awakening. It's not about awakening, a transcendent awakening where we remove ourselves somewhere, although I'm sure that's very appealing to many of us. I know when I started meditation, I had this idea that I would somehow abdicate from all difficulties in life. I would be able to float above it in some pink cloud, float away, hopefully. And I was in for a very rude awakening, because in fact my life got more difficult as I began to awaken and see things that I didn't really want to see, and be with feelings I didn't want to feel, or to have to take a journey into dimensions of my being that I hadn't really awakened to. Some very opening and expansive, but also definitely places of suffering. So it's not about integration. The integration is about an awakening that actually illuminates, rather than distance itself, illuminates not only all aspects of our personal incarnation and experience, but those within the culture, the society, the world that we live in. Both on all the different levels of what we experience within this world. But primarily and essentially, the attunement of a gathered mind, when it's gathered, it attunes itself to begin to see and contemplate our experience within the framework of Dharma. But part of this is to really see the immediacy of how much everything is in a state of change. Yeah, whatever we are experiencing, whatever we wish to hold on to, the reality is that ultimately we can't hold on to much or anything ultimately. And this world is in a state of change, and because of this we can't really control it all. We can't really own it. It's a very profound dilemma for us as human beings. How can we be in this world of change and hold and respond as well as we can, hold responsibly what we're with, our families, our lives, our work, our country, our culture, our globe, our earth, and yet at the same time we have to also somehow let it go. Our teacher Ajahn Chah, as a Thai forest master, would always encourage that it's uncertain, mainaya, which means it's not certain. It's not a certain situation, and if you hold and hope for certainty, then it creates the conditions for stress. So if you can let go, let things be, at least inwardly, as an inner attitude, allow life to flow and unfold according to its own nature, then definitely you will lessen your stress. So in this meditation retreat this coming week, we'll explore some of these themes, you know, these paradoxes, how to be in life, to respond, awakening within the suffering and the potentiality of life, and yet at the same time to have a heart that can let go, let be, and not create unnecessary suffering and struggle, trying to change things that we sometimes cannot change. And yet doesn't mean to say we abdicate from changing things that we can change. There is paradoxes, learning to be in paradox and learning to meet those paradoxes of life from this essential place of wakefulness, clarity, wisdom, awareness, and investigation. So some of the supports, just to say a little bit about the practical container of the retreat. Now, this is familiar for many of you that have done these retreats before, but just to reiterate, and for those, if in case there's anyone that's new to this experience of coming into retreat, that there are, this work is supported by the container that we're using together. Or first of all, the container of silence, which is, it's not something that we usually experience when we're in a group of people. We're usually speaking and socializing and connecting, which is one way of being, which can be very lovely, can also be quite challenging. But in this way of being together, it's not that we're silent because we're trying to dismiss each other, or it's not a cold silence. We don't want to hold it like that, but it's a silence that gives permission for each of us to be able to withdraw from our social persona and our scintillating personalities and all the views that we have about the world and what should and shouldn't be, to be able to put that down. So for the sake of being able to listen into these deeper currents of our being and to practice this path, the silence really is supportive. So to try and see the silence, as one of our Sri Lankan teachers used to say, that in English, I don't know in Hebrew, but if you turn the letters around, silence comes to the same, has the same letters as the word listen. It's a way of encouraging this deeper listening, which is another way of talking about awareness or presence or intuitive wisdom. Is connected with this capacity for inner listening, to listen to our being, to listen into the body, into the heart, into the moment, into the Dharma that's unfolding before us and within us. So the silence means that it's giving us permission, rather than listening so much to each other, to listen to ourselves, which isn't something we often afford ourselves, because we're so busy responding to what's needed from the world around us. So, so if you haven't really done this kind of practice before, I encourage you to be patient with the process of coming into silence and seeing it as a refuge and a support and a way that actually helps us, as some of you will have experienced through this retreat practice, helps us to meet each other at a deeper level, in a more relaxed, actually, level. At first it can feel a bit awkward, but gradually it allows us to relax, and then we can just meet in this authentic place where the awareness and the silence starts to build, and we can let it in, and it can hold us as a group in this work. The boundaries of silence, the boundaries of the retreat that we hold, give safety, which is also important. Usually we recommend the recognition of the precepts, ethical guidelines for this work, which is essentially boiled down to non-harming. not engaging each other in ways that, well, we're not going to be engaging each other, but to hold an inner attitude of non-harming, kindness towards each other, towards the land and the world around us. The schedule is also another container and boundary and support that helps the retreat run. So this next week you don't have to decide, what am I going to do today? Should I go to the beach or should I go to the city? Or, you know, it's all mapped out. So you can relax and let the schedule carry you. You know, you just hear a bell and you go. Wherever you're meant to go, to eat, to rest, to sit. And we also like to encourage those on our retreats to find your own rhythm. Some of you, I know for some people, they come into retreat and they're having a lot of deep exhaustion or health issues. So if you do need to rest or you know, take some time out to catch up with yourself, then do that. Without making a big scene or issue or deal about it, and then just come back in and join the retreat. We encourage you to come to the instructions in the morning and the evening Dharma talks, because it is easy to lose track in this space. So to really stay on track with the themes that we're working with and the practices we'll be working with. So please to come to those in the afternoons. We'll have some time for questions and answers or comments or feedback. And then we'll also be seeing you in small groups and sometimes individually. And we also would like to encourage you that if any of you at any time feel like it would be helpful to have extra contact or to check in with myself or Kirisara or Karen, who's actually helping us too. It's Karen Arbel, who's assisting us on this retreat and has the advantage of being a long-time practitioner and is Israeli and speaks Hebrew, so it's a big advantage, and has a lot of experience. So please do feel also free to use Karen. She's really kindly, generously offered her support for the retreat to guide you as well. So if you do feel you're getting lost or overwhelmed, then just let us know, write a note, and we'll connect and make a time to see you. So these are some of the outer forms of the retreat. The other thing that we'll be using some practices that may not be familiar for some of you that have done some of the Vipassana type retreats. And for some of you, they may be things you'd like to explore. And others of you, maybe it's not something you resonate with. We'll be doing some devotional practice or chanting practice in the morning. And a very simple bowing practice, not bowing to any image or anything, but more as a way of, this is from the training that we had within the Chinese school of Buddhism. It's connected with the Bodhisattva of compassion or the compassionate heart. It's a practice of connected with bowing into the deeper heart of awareness and compassion. We'll do that very early in the morning for those that would like to, and it's completely voluntary, and I do very much respect and appreciate, particularly within this culture, that that's not resonant for some people, and I would like to give, of course, full permission for you to engage or not in this practice as you see is comfortable and appropriate for each of you. But we like to still offer it because some people do like it and find it helpful. And then we'll also every day offer a period of Qigong, which are very simple stretching movements to help support the meditation and to awaken the energies within the body and help release some of the stress and strains that build up within the body. Very useful. So you're also invited to do that. So this is some of the external supports for the retreat, and just to briefly mention before finishing tonight, or finishing the talk, to mention some of the internal supports that you can work on already and begin to contemplate, which helps support this practice. Because in the way of the structures that the Buddha laid out, the maps, if you like, of consciousness and awakening that were laid out all that long time ago, the meditative work that we're doing is an important part, but it is one part of a whole way of training. And a lot of the trainings and the practices that are that complement the meditation are really about developing a certain kind of inner approach or an inner attitude that supports this practice of meditation. So, for example, when we trained in our monastic school, our teacher would encourage us to enter our experience with the attitude of, in a way, in Zen they call it a beginner's mind. He would always say, this is how it is in this moment, this is how it is. So it's not to say it shouldn't be a different way or we shouldn't work to make it better. But sometimes we're not even in relationship with how it is in this moment before we start trying to change everything. So this is how it is a way of coming into relationship that's more authentic and more direct. This is how it is in the body, in what I'm feeling, in the breath, in the room. And this we'll explore this as we go on, but this attitude of even if you're an experienced meditator and you've had loads of kind of amazing openings and insights, this is how it is now. It's a new retreat, it's a new moment. Yeah, so this kind of attitude can really help to keep everything then can become workable. So you're not just projecting an ideal onto yourself or onto the practice or onto the teachers or onto the retreat about how it should be. And, you know, it helps it to become workable. It doesn't mean to say we can't improve or get feedback. But this inner attitude is a patient attitude. It's very, very helpful in the path of meditation and the path of spiritual work. And I think connected with that is a very important principle, which is one of the what's called the paramitas or spiritual perfections, which is called the attitude of renunciation or simplification. When we come into a retreat like this, it's not comfortable. We can't just switch on the TV when we get a bit bored. We can't just, you know, well, we could just run away. But, you know, mostly we have to adapt. It's a little bit challenging. So this inner attitude to learn to work with the simplicity, learning to simplify, to renounce, to let go of our distractions, so that we can learn to find and recognize this unshakable heart that's not dependent on having to manipulate the world all the time to make us feel happy. So we find a source of well-being within our own heart. And then there are many different attitudes we can develop, but just tonight the last one to mention, which is also very helpful, is as we enter a practice and retreat like this, and something I like to do and we do and we trained to do, is to see that actually, although we're sitting here and it seems like we're doing this for ourselves, you know, sometimes people say you're very selfish just sitting here, but actually we're connected, you know, the reality. We might think of ourselves as separate and apart from this world, but we're part of a web of life. Our consciousness is interconnected within the consciousness of each other and our society and the world. So as we change our own consciousness, it has an impact. And so one of the ways that we can, when we come into retreat, to see, yes, it is about yourself, it is about awakening, but it's also about making an offering. This is an offering that we're doing together, you know, that our practice is for ourselves, but it also impacts our families, our communities, and this world. So let's make this practice this week an offering. May we really explore this intention of whatever fruits arise from our practice. May we offer that for the well-being of this country, this land, and beyond the boundaries of this country to the countries around and across the great oceans, the great continents, including the whole earth, particularly at this time of incredible intensity in this world, with absolutely mind-boggling dilemmas everywhere you turn, and challenges and dangers for many, many beings and people in all countries. So may our work here together this week, may it be an offering of peace, of awakening for the world around us. To begin the retreat formally, Kinisa and I would like to offer some Purita protection chants. And this is a way of really making that boundary for moving from our everyday life into this retreat space. So you can just listen to these. They're handed down from the time of the Buddha as protection chants. It's a recitation of the teachings, some of the teachings that we'll be using on loving kindness, on wisdom, on the qualities of refuge, on the victories of the Buddha over all sorts of challenging circumstances. So we're going to do these chants and then sit for a bit and dedicate our retreat and move into taking our intentionality into committing to this retreat. So also, before we do this, we just take a moment to stretch. You may want to stretch, but I just want to say this now so that we can just begin this next part of the evening after you've stretched. But Kittisaro will begin with a chant. Just to explain what this chant is, it's a chant that's inviting all that is good in around, within, beyond, to come and bear witness and to bless our efforts in the Dharma. So let's take a few minutes to stretch.
Ahalitavana mettam sametapatantan Avikita citta palitam pannantu Sammanta cakavalesu Atrakacchantu devatan Saddhammaṃ muni rājasasu nantu saṅkha-mokataṃ sakhi-kame-chārupe kiri-sikara-tate-chantali-ke-vi-māne dīpera-te-chakame-taru-vana-kahane-ke-hava-tum-hi-kite Pahumachayantu deva Chalatala visumayaka kandabanaga Titanta santike yang munivaravachanang Satavo me sutnantu Puttatasana kaloyam patanta Dhammasa vanna kaloyam patanta Sangha parirupasana kalon Ayam patanta Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddha Sannamoda Sabhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddha Sannamoda Sabhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddha Sabuddhaṃ salanaṃ gacchāmi dhamma salanaṃ gacchāmi saṅghaṃ salanaṃ gacchāmi duti vipadaṃ saranaṃ gacchāmi tutiyaṃ dhammaṃ saranaṃ gacchāmi tutiyaṃ saṅghaṃ saranaṃ gacchāmi tatiyaṃ vipadaṃ saranaṃ gacchāmi tatiyaṃ dhammaṃ saranaṃ gacchāmi tatiyaṃ saṅghaṃ saranaṃ gacchāmi iti piso bhagavā arahaṃ sammāsambuddhaṃ bhūto vijja calana sampanno sukkato lokavidu vando dalo apalisat masalati satta devam manasan Bhutto bhagavā jisavākato bhagavata dham Santitiko akaliko ehipasiko ho apanayiko apachat Vedita bovinyuhi tisupadipanno bhagavato savakasang Ujjupati panno bhagavato savaka sangho Yaya pati panno bhagavato savaka sangho Sammeje pati panno bhagavato savaka sangho Yati tangju tali polisa yukaniya Tapolisa pogala Esa bhagavato sahavaka saṅkho ahunayo
mahunayo
dakinayo anjali kalaniyo hanu talam panyake taloka sāthi kalaniyamah tatkusalena yantam san patang apisumetra sako hucho achasu hucho achasu vacho achasamodo anatiman santo sako achasu palo achahapakicho achasala hukao tisan penri Chanipako jahapakampo akulesu ananugit Nachakutang zamachale kinjiyena ven Palehu pavatayong sukino akemeno Tusabe satta pavantu sukitata Yeke jipana bodha titasa Tawalawa Hanavase Sadigawaye Mahantawamachima Rasaka Hanukatula Ditawai Chaditaye Chature Vasanti Avidur Putawa Sambhave Siva Sabe Satta Pavandu Sukita Napalo Apalani Kuambeta Nati Manye Tukata Jinan Kinchi Payalo San Patika Sanya Nanya Manya Zadu Kami Chaya Mata Yatani Yambut Ayusaye kaputamanurake vampisapabu te sumana sambhavaye apaliman netam chasabalo akasming mana sambhavaye apalim nangutang adua chatiriyan cha asambhatang avelang titan chalan nisin No asayan vayavata savikatamito etan satinga ditaya brahmamet vihalang itmahudi tinjahanupakamma silava dasanena sampanno kamme suvinaya kedang nahi chatuka pasayang punaleti Pahum sahasamaminiyam mitasavudandang gulime kalangutitakula sasayinama Tanaditama vitinajitava munindo tantejasambhavatu Jayamangalani mala tiregamapiyo jittasapala tengolam panalavakam kamatadaya kankanti sutanda vitinajitava munindo tantejasambhavatu Jayamangalani nala giriyam gajavalang atimata bhutando vakrija Kamasani vasudalunan metambase kavitina jitova munin Tante jasambhavatu te jayamangalani yukitaka gamatiha Tasudalunan tanto vanti vajana matangulimalavan Iti visangatamano jitova munin Tante jasambhavatu jayamangalani katavana katamutalangi vega Pini chinchaya duvata vachana janakaya mache santena soma vitinajito munindo tante jasambhavatu te jayamangalani sat Changvayayamatis chakavadaketam vatapiluvapitamannam natiyantabhut Panyapadiyapajalito jitovamunindo tantejasam Jayamangalani nando panandabhujagam vibhudam mahitim puttena terabhujagenatamapayam Yito badaya zavitina jito amunin Tante chusamba watute jayamang Niduga hadite bujagena sudata hatam Brahmang visuati juti medipakabitan Jnana gadena vitina jito amunindo Tante chusamba watute jayamang Nieta pibuta jayamang kalahata kata yo acheno adena dene salate matan hito anane ka vividani chupadava nimokam sukang atikama yanalo asapanyo. Bhavatu sambha mangalam rakandu sambha devata sabha buddhanu pavena sata so de bhavatu sambha mangalam rakandu sabha devata sabha dhammanu pavena sata so de bhavantu te bhavatu sabha mangal rakantu sabha devata sabha sankhanu bhavena sata soti bhavantu te.
Thank you.